Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
In our recent conversation about St. Ignatius, I talked about how important it is that we give thanks to God for blessings great and small. I was reading a little further. Actually, I'm rereading a book by James Manny entitled The Ignatian Guide to Almost Everything. It's very good. I think actually it's called The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything. It's very good. It's about practical spiritual life. And he talked about how important it is that we ask the Lord to help us take notice of the gifts that he brings our way that often in our busyness, it passes our attention. Well, recently, Sherry and I here on our farm have been delighting in the arrival of a couple pairs of orioles, and they've actually made a nest, one of those beautiful hanging nests, right off of our front porch, probably not 30 or 40 feet away in one of our tallest trees, a great big cottonwood tree. And there now we can see, probably about 20 feet off the ground, this nest that was made by the orioles. And we have found ourselves in the evenings after our long day and after attending to things in our yard and our flowers and the beauty of the landscaping, of sitting on our front porch and watching these beautiful, stunningly beautiful birds. And we appreciate them so much as a gift that's come from God. And last night, as we were watching, and I brought a pair of my good binoculars out so we could sit there and really bring them in closely, all of a sudden we saw that bluebirds have moved in also. Not blue jays, but bluebirds. And Sherry and I find this delight. It's actually a small thing and yet a wonderful gift of the Lord to simply watch these majestic creatures. How beautiful they are. And as they move in and out, it's lifting our hearts and reminding us of the goodness of God and even what one person might consider the smallest of gifts. And yet when you stop to take notice, you can understand why St. Ignatius said that these kind of moments bring consolation to our lives. They pour sunlight into our soul, and they bring joy and hope and even love. Well, I thought I'd mention that because taking notice is not something you can do when you're moving quickly. And often God sends us the smallest of gifts if we would just open our eyes and see what he's providing for us. Well, that's not exactly what I want to talk to you about today, but it's a good introduction to remind us of the importance of taking notice. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever struggled with spiritual insecurity? Spiritual insecurity. Let me define what I mean by that. That you find yourself often very anxious and, if you will, hypervigilant about how you're doing spiritually. How are you doing before God? Are you pleasing him? Are you doing enough? Are you holy enough? Have you done some things that may not line up with God's desires? And God, is God now angry with you? There are many, many Christians that are trapped in this kind of a brokenness, and it really leads to almost a neurotic response to God. I know I have struggled in my life with spiritual insecurity. There was a time when I was always wondering and worried about how I was doing. And if I did something wrong, oh my gosh, I would want to make sure I did everything I could to make it right and to let God know over and over and over again that I was so sorry for it. And I began to reflect on this years ago, that a lot of this anxiety came from, I think, two places. One of them is an over-identification with God as judge rather than God as loving Father. We've talked about this a little bit in the past, but when you're raised in an evangelical conservative church and there's a great emphasis on the idea that God is judge and that he's going to pour out his wrath, even though we find Jesus being our advocate who stands and takes that for us, there's this rather neurotic anxiety that can be created in our lives as to how are we doing now, given that God is watching so closely. I think another reason that we can get trapped in this type of spiritual insecurity is actually the infiltration of a religious spirit into the church. When when the church teaches that we've got to follow rules and make sure we're fulfilling all the rituals and all the religious obligations, it can create this energy inside of us that kind of is always checking up and wondering, how are we doing, rather than resting secure in what is true of us. Now, when we do not understand all that Christ has done for us, and you remember we've recently talked about all that has been freely given, when we don't understand, then we can get trapped in this how am I doing mentality with a nervous anxiety that we are not secure before God unless we're performing properly. This is a very, very serious issue. Now, you will remember that Paul talked about the fact that we have been enriched in every way. And it was interesting to me that he talked about this before he began to be very serious with the Corinthians about some behavior that was out of line with God's desire, behavior that was not only divisive but also destructive. Well, we talked about that and how we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to help us to see what God has done for us, how we've been enriched, all that has been freely given. Well, Paul picks up this theme again in 2 Corinthians. And there's one little passage of Scripture that I think is very important for us, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. It comes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it begins with verse 21 and then includes verse 22. I'll read it to you. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Now, did you hear what it says here? It is God who makes us stand secure. I think that's a very important point there. We could put other words. It is God who enables us to stand secure. It is God who empowers us to stand secure. It is God who provides a way that we might stand secure. This is very foundational to the idea of identity once it's been given to us as a child of God, that we are secure in Him and that our security is not linked to our behavior. Behavior is important. We will reap what we sow, and if we're living in ways contrary to who we are in Christ, undoubtedly it can bring division and destruction, and it is not healthy and good for us. But in terms of security with our Father, the Bible says that God has provided a way. It is God who has made a way that we would stand secure. That's an important passage here for us. God provides a way for you to be secure. He's watching over you. He's holding you in His hand. And then out of that security, we can, in worshipful response, learn how to live out of who we really are in Jesus Christ. Now, there are three things that he says here, and I'd like to highlight them today because I think they have great meaning for us and that they can help us tremendously. The Bible says here that he helps us stand secure, and the first thing it says, he has anointed us. Anointed us. There's a lot of conversation about anointing of the Holy Spirit in the community of Christ, as well there should be. And there's a lot of different places in Scripture that talk about anointing. I know you're aware that when a king was declared to be the king, they would hold a ceremony of some type and they would anoint him with oil. And that anointed means that they were chosen. They've been given a very special position. They are there as a representative of God, and anointing represented that. It also, in Scripture, relates to healing. That there was a time, for example, it says in James that you take oil and you anoint the sick for healing. And there's also the whole idea of empowerment, that if you are going to accomplish some task for the Lord, it's important that you are anointed with His Holy Spirit. Now, what Scripture is telling us here is that God has done that for us. Do you hear that right now, wherever you are? Are you aware that you're secure with God and He has anointed you? You are part of a kingdom of priests. You've been anointed by the Holy Spirit, which means you have been chosen. You may not be living out of that chosenness, and that would be tragic at one level, but you are chosen. You are His child. You belong to Him, and He's anointed you to designate that. The other thing that Scripture says that I think is so wonderful is that that anointing brings healing. I think salvation is a lot about healing, taking what has been broken and wounded and marred in our lives, and in Christ, seeing people made whole. Not just physical healing, which of course is important, but also the healing of our relationship with God, the healing of our spirit, the healing of the unresolved issues of our past. All of these things God has done for you. He is doing for you. And that's why you're able to stand firm. Standing firm isn't something we do in our own power. It's something that God has enabled. It's very important to keep this in mind. I know when I forget this sense of being chosen in Christ, and again, it's not based on my behavior, it's based on what Christ has done, and that grace is poured out to me, and I then am able to trust that. When I forget that, all of a sudden I find myself going back to an old pattern of wondering how I'm doing, feeling anxious, feeling a bit neurotic about my behavior, wondering if I'm holy enough. And then all of a sudden I remember He was holy enough. And because He was holy enough and I have faith in Him, I'm able to stand firm. If you're wondering how you're doing today before God, know this, you're standing firm. Oh, you may need to bring some of your behavior in line, but you are most definitely standing firm because God has made that true. Well, let's look to the second thing it says, that He's not only anointed you, but He's put a seal of ownership upon you. Now, I can't see my seal of ownership, and I can't see yours, of course, but somehow in the spiritual realm, it is crystal clear that you belong to God. There is some seal, this presence of the Spirit marking you as now belonging to God. As I began to think of this, I thought of my dad and my father-in-law. My dad just turned 91. I think I mentioned that the other day, and I was able to have a little celebration with him, and it was precious. My dad grew up in the Depression, and he didn't have much. And even when we were little children, he was working in the coal mines, and they were only working 3 days a week, and there was not a lot of income, and things could be very, very tough. And do you know what my father did? Whenever he had something that was his, he would mark it. He would, if he had golf balls, he would put in big letters Howard Wardle on it, just HW. There was going to be no question when you're out on the course. Somebody finds that ball, they know it belongs to Howard Wardle. All his tools had an HW scratched into it so that people could see these things belong to him. If it went away from him, maybe someone borrowed it. Dad wanted people to recognize, I'll come for it because it belongs to me. My father-in-law, he did the same kind of thing. I guess growing up in the Depression, it makes a huge difference. And he would take a little bit of green spray paint or green paint with a brush, and all of his good tools, he would put a little green paint on it. He knew which ones belonged to John Clark. I was able to get some of those as he passed on before the Lord, and I have some clamps, and I always know when I see them, I think of John, because he marked them. These belong to him. You know, I'm not like that. I think because I didn't grow up in a Depression, and I've had things, and I've had the ability to get things, I don't go around marking what's mine. But God does. God does. He has marked you. He wants people to know in the spiritual realm you belong to Him. If there is any sense if someone tries to take what belongs to Him, He'll come and get it. If someone begins to wander away, He'll go and find them. See, this is a very important principle of Scripture. You are marked. God's not going to lose touch of you. There's not going to come a day when He forgot who you are or he wonders who was mine and who wasn't. He has marked you. You belong to Him. He is jealous for you. And He wants you to understand that He has not only crossed the universe for you, but He's with you. He surrounds you. You are secure in Him. Wow. This is before we even begin to talk about behavior. And what do we already know? You are firm with God because you're anointed. You're also firm with him. You'll be standing firm because he has marked you as his own. Every being in the spiritual realm knows that. It's important that you know that. Maybe I do not take time to mark what belongs to me, but God does. Your Father does. And you've been marked. Should be a reason to give great praise and have great joy in the Lord. Now, the third thing this passage of Scripture says is that he puts his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is yet to come. Wow, that's another profound thought. What is it that causes us to stand firm? Not only that we're anointed, which means we're selected as a kingdom of priests and we're his children and he's healing us. It not only means that we then have this seal of ownership over us, but it also means that he's put the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can taste now some of what it's going to be like then. This is one of the fundamental principles of kingdom theology. God is moving in his kingdom in this world. It's important that we learn to recognize his movement. And one of the things we find Jesus saying is wherever the Spirit is at work, there the kingdom is moving. There the kingdom is present. And what God has done is place the Holy Spirit in you as a symbol that the kingdom is now present to some degree here in your life, a down payment of things yet to come, a taste in the now of what it will be like in the not yet. It's a guarantee. Wow, that's very, very important, this whole idea of a guarantee. When a manufacturer makes some good and they put a guarantee with it, it means that for a period of time, no matter what happens, they'll make this right because they've guaranteed the quality of their workmanship. And what God is saying to us in this passage of Scripture is that he guarantees what's going to be true for us in all of eternity, that we will dwell in his presence, that we will be one with him, that we as his children will live in the lavishness of his kingdom because the Holy Spirit is now present within us. This is one of the reasons that Paul encouraged us both in Romans and in Galatians to learn how to recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's the guarantee that God has given us, that we're not only going to stand firm now, but we're going to stand through time. I think it's important for us to think about what Paul meant when he said, learn to keep in step with the Spirit. Learn to live your life in such a way that you're in harmony with the Spirit, recognizing the Spirit's presence, discerning the Spirit's guidance, being willing to count on the Spirit's empowerment. That's one of the reasons that Jesus talked about the Spirit as the Paraclete, the one that is with us, who's alongside of us, who's for us. You know, in the Old Testament, one of the things that's said in the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's both in Ezekiel 13 and 36, that God's children went astray because their own spirit was hardened as well as their heart. But there would come a day when God would give his children a new heart, a new spirit, but then he added, and he would put his spirit within their spirit in order that they can then live as his children. That's part of the guarantee. This is such a fundamental principle for those of us that at all struggle with spiritual insecurity. God has made every provision that we can stand firm. Philippians chapter 1 says that he began a good work, he'll finish the work. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it talks about our need to walk in his ways, and then it says God's faithful, he'll do it. And then we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and what God spoke to us about being enriched in every way and connected with the body of Christ around the world. And now what he's telling us is that we can stand firm. This is part of why we rejoice. This is what it means to speak grace fluently. It means to begin to recognize the wonder and power of God that has so magnificently embraced us as his children, and provided a way for us to be free. And so wherever you are right now, I want to speak this over you. God is making a provision for you to stand firm to the end. Lean into that. Here's three things I know about you, even if I've never met you. I know that God has anointed you. If you've expressed faith in the grace of Christ, you have been anointed with that Spirit. You are marked as a priest. You are His child. I also know this, that there is a seal of ownership on you. God marks His property. He wants to make sure everybody knows what belongs to Him, and you belong to Him. And finally, God has placed the Holy Spirit in you as a guarantee of what's yet to come. And what is yet to come will be even more glorious. Well, may the presence of God be with you. Think about these scriptures. Maybe go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Pray over these. Ask God to make them more true of your life. God bless you.